Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Dr. Nyahora, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon to you, sir. How are you doing today?
Very well, thank you. How are you doing?
No, I'm good, thank you.
Lovely. Great to hear from you. I do hope that your day has been good.
No, they are blessed. Thank you very much, sir.
Lovely, lovely. Great to hear that. Now, we're looking at Matthew 24, 7, which says that the Bible gives us a warning about the last days. In fact, it says there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. Now, we know from God's word that in the last days, there will be a surge in natural disasters, both in their frequency and in their intensity. And we are seeing that in real time today. Now, with that in mind, is there even a point of really caring for the environment? Because, I mean, it was already said in Scripture.
Yes, definitely. I believe that prophecy is being fulfilled now. We are in the last days. We see a lot of things happening. That's correct. But prophecies about the last days do not negate the call to care for God's creation. The prophecies do not provide us with exact timelines. We can have rough ideas, but we really do not know when Christ is coming back. Only the Father knows. And for example, in 1844, you remember the 1844 incident?
Yes, yes.
People sold everything. They thought they'd worked out the maths and everything, and they thought, yeah, they were on point. But unfortunately, they didn't realize it was not the end of the world. It was about Christ going to from the holy place, the most holy place. So I would say we should be faithful until the end. We do not know what this end is.
Yeah.
So it is our responsibility, remembering that we are stewards with that mandate to look after the natural environment, which is still carry on. And also remembering that we talked about compassion for our neighbors and the future generation. With all that in mind and our moral and ethical responsibilities, we should carry on looking after the environment until the end. And we, although the earth will eventually be renewed, our care for it reflects our hope in God's ultimate restoration and our respect for his ongoing work.
Is it notwithstanding the fact that, I mean, when wars happen, but nature, of course, is affected in a great way. I mean, it seems to be defeating the purpose, Doc.
I don't think so. Because, yes, war happens, earthquakes happen, but we still have a mandate. And if we just say, let's forget about it, let's call it a day, then what happens if we are going to be here on earth for another 1,000 years? What happens to our future generation if we think of today, our future generation? They will have no earth, they will have nowhere to plow, they won't have water, they won't have the normal gases that they're supposed to have. So it is still our responsibility, our God-given responsibility and obedience to God that we look after that environment. That's my point.
All right. Now, is there anything then that we can do collectively? You talked about natural disasters that we can do collectively to avoid or to prevent or even to reduce the occurrence of natural disasters. We know that, you know, there's floods, for instance, but that happened. And I hear that sometimes they're induced, you know, we've got wildfires, for instance, in the place of California. We have got earthquakes and stuff. Is there something that can be done, you know, collectively to prevent or to avoid these, or maybe even to reduce the occurrence?
Yes, definitely. I'm happy you said collectively, because we're looking at it from a biblical point of view, as well as from a practical scientific point of view. We can address climate change by reducing how us as human beings contribute to problems with greenhouse gas emissions, for example. If we use cleaner energy, I think it's also a buzzword people are talking about. We use solar, we use wind instead of using the hydrocarbons, instead of burning the hydrocarbons to form our diesel, our petrol, our paraffins, we can definitely reduce the emissions. We can also be involved in sustainable practices. For example, in agriculture, manufacturing and transportation systems, we can consciously say, let us do something that is sustainable. For example, small little things that we can even do at home, recycling, to be able to say, okay, if I put this plastic paper outside, what will happen to it? You come back after 5 years, that paper will still be there, but the chemicals have gone into the soil and they've killed the little animals and plants we were talking about yesterday. So just being responsible and being involved in sustainable practices will definitely help us. And then restoration and conservation of ecosystems. We can preserve forests. You were talking about the burning forests in California.
Yeah,
we can talk about planting new plants, new trees, making an effort to do that. This is actually being done even at junior school level. I've seen little kids going to school with plants with, and they are encouraged to plant them. And that is really good because we are teaching them to restore and conserve the ecosystem. And in wetlands, we can actually put efforts to reduce flooding and storms. And soil management, we try and reduce desertification so that we don't form deserts unnecessarily and soil erosion. We can also, and we are doing that even now, disaster preparedness and risk reduction, just to make people aware that, you know, when this happens, it means that there's going to be potential of a tsunami high. It might not be 100% accurate, but it's just making people aware so that they know. And even in the people who live out of town, I've been to some places where the place is completely eroded and people build houses in the valleys. And that doesn't make sense. People should be made aware that they should build their houses on top so that, you know, when the floods come, they don't just take their houses away. So this is like disaster preparedness and making people aware through education, through some companies are actually involved in talking about these issues to communities and to school children. And global cooperation, I'm sure you're aware that the COP29 has just happened, the one that was instigated through the Paris Conventions, through the United Nations, to try and bring the whole world, to make the world aware that, you know what, we have contributed so badly to the natural environment, and it's our responsibility now to make sure that we restore what we have destroyed. In South Africa, we have, I'm sure you're aware, we have said by 2030, we should reduce poverty, we should reduce hunger. And these are as a result of us destroying the natural environment. And in addition, faith and prayer. We should seek divine guidance.
Yeah.
It is important that we do so because the earth was created by God. It is His. And when we go humbly before His throne of grace and pray and say, God, we have made a mistake, help us the Lord will do so. In 2 Chronicles 7, 4, in chapter 7, verse 14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I'll forgive their sin and will heal their land. So us destroying the natural environment, it is actually a sin. This is the sin we have committed. Mm. So we need to go humbly before the throne of grace. Because remember, we're talking about it being an act of obedience. So if it's not obedience, it is a sin.
Yes, definitely, definitely.
And then on our own, we can reduce waste. Even in the home, even in the office, even in schools, we make efforts to conserve water. Sometimes you go in a public place and you see a tap, it's just open, and people are passing by and no one takes any care about it. But we are saying this is our environment, we have a future generation. So for everyone just to be aware, to say, me on my own as a person, how do I contribute to preserving the environment? Thank you.
Yeah, it's actually quite important. The point that you've made is very, 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 very important. Now, Doc, you know, we know very well that we are only passers-by in this world. I mean, we are here for a temporary period, and after that, we are going to literally not be here for a very long time. Now, I just want to check, much as it is important to do all of these things, how much should we really be investing in these environmental sustainability initiatives? Should we not do it with the mind that we're not going to be here for so long? I mean, should we really be going all out for a place that is temporary?
That's a very interesting observation. And yes, we are here temporarily, but we don't know how long that temporal is. So if we look at it from that angle, we are still stewards. So we should still look after the land.
And we should go all out?
I believe, as Ellen White says, we do everything in moderation. We should not overinvest in sustainability. But at the same time, we have a responsibility to invest in sustainability. What is over-investment in sustainability is the big question that we should ask ourselves.
Yes.
Are we taking all the resources that we have and putting them in the natural environment? Or are we saying, well, I'll just take maybe a fifth, maybe a tenth? This is a big debate that we can go through, but we need to be moderate about it. But initiatives still should prioritize practical, effective solutions that balance resource use, care for people, and glorify God.
That's powerful. Well, Dr. Nyahoda, I must thank you so much for coming through. Always enlightening conversations, and very much, interesting, because it gives us a new perspective into this environmental sustainability and responsibility, initiatives. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you very much, sir, and have a blessed afternoon.
Be blessed. Thank you.
Bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.